It is Tuesday night, April 26th, 8 o'clock on the eastern side, and we're back, at least for a little while, because it seems like we've been gone a long time, but it's really been a couple of months.
Man, it's only been since like February, but it does. It feels like a while, man. It feels like a while. That's how you know we're football heads, man. And even a few months feels like forever.
Yeah, I hear you. So, yeah, it's like the Super Bowl just ended, and it's already time for the NFL draft, and that's why we are back here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. We want to thank everybody for checking us out. Our TikTok debuted this week, and we've had over 800 views of the promo ad. It's only been up there a couple of days, so that's great. And we want to welcome everybody who's checking us out on Twitch or Facebook Live or on YouTube, which is the other big one. And if you are just a listener on the podcast, we want to thank you for listening to whatever platform you're on. We're still on all the major suppliers. We're on Amazon Music. We are on Spotify, Audible, Podcaster, Castro, Stitcher. So no matter what you like to listen to your podcast on, that's where we're at and that's where we'll be. So we want to thank you for being here. And so we're here for a really special reason. We said it back in February that the draft is coming around. And if you're, you know, an NFL football fan and you're a fan of a team in general, this is, I think, next to Super Bowl weekend, this is probably one of the most exciting times of the year, because I think it's that everybody's back to 0-0, 0-0, and you have hope. You have hope that you're going to get some players, you're going to make some moves to put your team over the hump. You know, and I think that's where everybody loves going in. I think that's where people like going to the draft, supporting their colors, because even if you're a part of a bad organization, you can come away in the draft a winner. And you can feel good all the way up until training camp starts and the season starts. So as an Eagles fan, it's always a good time until Howie makes the picks. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know what it is, but let me turn it over to my partner in crime, Tubby, back with me again. How's it going, and are you ready for draft weekend?
Absolutely, man. You know, just to piggyback off what you said, this is like one of the most exciting times of the year, because you're not even interested. This is one of the two times besides the Super Bowl where you're not even worried about your team. This is another time where you're trying to see where everybody goes. You know, you don't want your rival to get a good player. You know, It goes, you know, we don't want, you know, when Saquon Barkley got drafted in our league and we go, oh man, you know, when Zeke got drafted, those things affect your team as well too, because, you know, teams in your division getting better. So, you know, the draft is one of those things where a lot of people are invested. You know, people have college teams that may not be their pro team, but you want to see your college player, like Aiden Hutchins for instance. You want to see that Michigan guy go, you know, top five or whatever, you know, just to say. So, you know, so many different reasons to watch the draft, man. Just like the Super Bowl, you got the festivities, you have everything else, man. So, and like you said, man, you're just, it's a hope, you know, people love a hope.
Yeah.
You know, one draft pick can change your entire franchise. One single draft pick. Just ask the Kansas City Chiefs, man. Once they got Patrick Mahomes, pick changed, you know, it was life changing. Just ask the Patriots, you know, even though no matter where you get them at down the line. You know, so the draft is important, man. If you're a football fan, you know, you love to see it, man. So I am excited, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to be back, man. You know, just even though it's just a little taste until we get back into the regular season. But I am excited to be back, man. I am excited to talk about these draft picks and some of the other things that the Eagles have going on, man, throughout the season. I'm sure you are too, Lee.
Yeah, it hasn't been like the biggest offseason that we've ever seen. It certainly wasn't the dream team offseason, but it was fairly eventful. So we're going to touch on that. One of the things though that you said about the draft that interests me is like, yeah, one pick can change your whole team around like it did in Kansas City, or having a team that drafts well, like the New England Patriots, the example you made. I think that the Eagles have done okay in the draft. We've had some steals. We've had some, you know, hidden gems throughout there, and we've had a few of our number one picks land and do well, and we've also screwed over our rivals, our division rivals, like with Devontae Smith jumping over the Giants, who clearly wanted him last year, and then watching them drop out, knowing that they were no longer in the running, that we picked him up. And then, like, when we got Dallas Goedert, who the Cowboys had their, you know, had the gold stars all around that was their guy, mm-hmm. and we ended up getting him. So the Eagles have done some good moves in the draft, and we just, I think that 2 years ago with the Rager thing was, I don't know if I chalk it up to COVID or whatever, but it was a bad deal, and we'll talk about that as we get into the draft coverage for sure. But yeah, let's talk about what the Eagles have actually been up to in the offseason. Now, and a related note as far as Eagles news is, we had a famous Eagle retire recently from football, so had to give that a mention before we get into the Eagles news per se, because Malcolm Jenkins was a stud for us. He came over from the New Orleans Saints, took over the safety position. He may not have been the best safety we ever had, but he's definitely up there in the top five, at least maybe top three if you want to throw Eric Allen, B-Doc, mm-hmm. and then maybe Malcolm Jenkins in there. I mean, helped us win a Super Bowl, had a key contributor to the Super Bowl victory, and we've missed him ever since he went back. He was a leader on and off the field. He was the defensive captain like that we needed at that time, and we've sure missed him since he's been gone. So congrats to Malcolm Jenkins for riding off into the sunset, a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, man. Congrats on your retirement. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, NFL player, regardless of your position, I think it's only about a 3 or 4 years. I don't know. I should have checked and see how long he's been in the league. Do you know? How many years does this make for him?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't. But, you know, that's what Google is for. So.
Yeah. Now, I was just thinking, you know, just in conversation, like, wow, you know, he's had a pretty, you know, good career. You know, a couple of Super Bowls, and, you know, you win a Super Bowl as an Eagle, you're always going to be remembered. And he did a lot in the city as well, too, when he wasn't on the field. So
exactly.
Congrats to Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, 13 seasons in the league for Malcolm.
13.
And he won a Super Bowl with the Saints and the Eagles. So a 2-time Super Bowl champ. He was second team All-Pro. 3 Pro Bowls, 2015, 17, and 18. Won the Jim Thorpe Award, Consensus All-American 2008, second team All-American in college, and 3-time first team All-Big Ten. So total statistics for him, 1,044 tackles, 13.5 sacks, 24 fumbles, 11 fumble recoveries, 21 interceptions, and 8 defensive touchdowns. That's a big one right there in a 13-year career, 8 defensive touchdowns. So, yeah, congrats to Malcolm Jenkins. Now let's talk about what we've kind of lost this season. We're going to deal with the two biggest losses that we've encountered in free agency. It wasn't that bad, but it is significant. And the first one that we lost is our other safety when Malcolm Jenkins was here, you know, Rodney McLeod. He has decided to move on to greener pastures, and we just couldn't pay him what he was looking to get. So Rodney McLeod decided to go ahead and take a gig with the Indianapolis Colts. And we're going to miss him because basically when you look at the defensive backfield at the safety position right now, looking at their roster, Anthony Harris is about it. And that's it. I mean, they've got other people that can play the position like Kevon Wallace, but that, I mean, nowhere on the roster comes close to what Rodney McLeod did for us. So this is a big gap going into the draft at the safety position. And also we lost Steven Nelson to the Houston Texans on a 2-year, $10 million deal. And this one hurts because we don't have that guy across from Slay anymore that can play the corner. So definitely some needs that are going to need to be addressed for the Eagles in this draft and in the rest of free agency, because those are big defensive, you know, backfield players that can make a difference. And in the scheme that we run in that crazy bend but don't break zone, if you put anybody else back there, it's just going to get worse. It's going to be a repeat of what we had under Jim Schwartz, where we were just all our corners and defensive backs were toast because they couldn't cover in that zone, and you lost two key players. So how do you feel about the losses that we had at the defensive backfield?
You know, the price, it's always the price. You know, when I see the price and I go, man, we couldn't pay him $5 million. You know, a guy that's already ingratiated himself into the offense, became a starter, became a very reliable player. I don't think he missed a game last year. Mm-hmm. I didn't double check that, but I remember him always being on the field last year. I remember him and Slay and him being healthy for the most part, you know, 17 game season now. So, you know, these players, is, you know, if you can go even 12, 13 games, that's pretty crazy, you know, how physical the game is. But with the price, I thought we could have had $10 million. You know, the way Howie moved some things around, we dropped, you know, Fletcher Cox to re-sign him for a better deal. You know, those are areas where you want to, you know, bring back guys. You bring back Anthony Harris, you know, but yeah. Why not bring back Rodney McLeod? I thought we had $5 million a year to not move a guy. I think you can get a lot out of a guy for $5 million a year, especially a starting corner. Right. He played well last year. The Eagles made the Super Bowl. You know, we know where our problems existed. They weren't necessarily at the corners.
Right.
You know, they weren't at the corners. So I thought we could have brought him back for a little security and continuity, especially if you're going to lose a guy like McLeod, man. What did you think about him?
You know, like I said, when Malcolm Jenkins left, he became the anchor of that deep coverage. And he makes plays. And so when you lose that and you don't prioritize that, that means that's another need we have to address in the draft. If they had been able to lock down Nelson and McLeod, I would feel pretty good about our defense going into this draft. Now we have two gaping holes to fill, and there's no guarantee we're going to get somebody in the first few rounds that's going to fix it. They're going to be a rookie. They're going to be coming fresh in. So this tells me that they're not ready to make the next step defensively, and it tells me that under Gannon's system, which is very similar to Schwartz's, it's going to be complex for any rookie to come in and try to, you know, get you know, gauge right away and start making a difference right away. So it hurts. It hurts really bad. So we'll have to see what happens as far as who they go after in the draft. I think that it's a definite need for a safety in a corner, and we'll see where it goes from there. You mentioned Fletcher Cox. Yep. So when they first released him, I was nervous. I was like, I figured somebody would offer him something to bring him back, but nobody was going to offer what the Eagles did with their restructured deal to get him to stay in green. So we're glad to have Fletch around. He's forever an Eagle. He should retire an Eagle. And so, yeah, he may be in the waning years of his career, but he's still got a lot to give, got a lot in the tank. So we're glad that Fletch is back. Also, I don't have a image for him, but Jason Kelsey's coming back. He was apparently bribed by Nick Sirianni with a keg of beer. And I tell you what, in the TikTok that he did where he's just pumping the keg and then he lifts it up to his lips and he's like, I want to make the announcement that I will be returning. It was a great way for him to say that he was coming back. So, you know, you never know with Kelsey year to year. But having him there for another season makes that offensive line even better. It's just going to give more depth. We know that if he gets hurt, we got Landon Dickerson that can move into the center spot as he played well last year. We know that we've got a Herbig that's playing really well. Lane Johnson's well. Mailata's good. Sam Mala, okay. So having the depth of Kelsey coming back in there is going to make a big difference. So we're glad that he's back.
And I thought re-signing Herbert was underrated. It kind of went under the radar a little bit. But I thought, you know, bringing back Herbert was a big deal. Only Driscoll is the one that I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that we re-signed him, but that's the only person last year that really gave me a problem where I got nervous when he was in was Driscoll. Everybody else but Herbert, another really big line. He can play, basically, he can play all five spots on the line. So that is a good re-signing to have him back, man. Once again, that continuity.
Yeah,
it's a big deal, man.
They actually put him on the restricted free agent contract, so they kind of put the tag on Herbig.
I
think that more than once last year, we noticed Herbig. We noticed him getting downfield on blocks and just pancaking people with his size. I think he took a big step last year as far as being kind of an intimidator. And I for one, appreciated what he did, and I'm glad they brought him back as well because it gives him more time to ingratiate himself into the offensive line and maybe solidify himself as a starter and then can get I think one of the reasons they put the tag on him, they can get him a bigger contract next year if he earns it this year. So yeah, good for him. On the defensive side of the ball, we brought back Derek Barnett. Re-signed him, but here's a nice little meme. I love this. It's just got the fish tearing into space, going every Eagles fan realizing that they'll have to watch another 2 years of Derek Barnett penalties. That's my only real problem with the guy. Well, other than, you know, first round talent, and he's not produced first round results. You know, he's there. He's not horrible, but he's definitely not a difference maker that we expected when we got him. And he does commit a lot of penalties on the line, and it's frustrating. So he's back. I really did not expect him to come back. I didn't expect the Eagles to re-sign him, but it maybe shows that the market.
I didn't either. I was pretty surprised when they brought him back. But yeah, man, and it's mainly do you think that his rookie season, him winning the Super Bowl in his rookie season, you think that made him overconfident as far as his training coming back year in after year?
Maybe,
asking that question, just throwing that out there, because you know we got a guy who broke Reggie White. My goodness,
yeah,
definitely not Reggie Jackson. Yeah,
that'd be a different sport, but yeah,
definitely two different people. But you know, he broke Reggie White's record at Tennessee. We're getting a stud. He did play well,
right,
his first year. But it seems like the penalties come from his nonchalantness overall.
Right.
He doesn't look like he's in that best shape. To only be a fourth, fifth year guy, he should still be in top, you know, tip top shape, like a lot of the other ends that are getting that, putting up numbers in the league.
Right.
So, you know, when it came to Barnett, but yeah, basically our biggest thing with Barnett is the penalties, mm-hmm. the uncoachable plays, the plays that is nothing nobody can do about. Only you can control. It's not a bad defensive call. Nobody puts you in a bad position. We just need you to focus and concentrate a little bit more. So, you know, hopefully maybe seeing that there was nothing out there for him, another team to go to, maybe that will humble him a little bit. Maybe we'll get him back in there training harder, getting ready for this season and being that player that we drafted. You know, he's still a young player. It's not like he's over the hill. He's still a very young player.
Yeah.
So, as long as he cleans up those penalties, I think, hey, I like having continuity, man.
It goes back to what you said, though. We found money to sign him to a 2-year deal, but couldn't sign Steven Nelson, which I think with Brandon Graham coming back from his injury and hopefully won't get injured again, with Sweat playing, this thing about Barnett, if you compare him to like a guy like Sweat, the intensity that Josh Sweat brings to the game and the aggressiveness that he does when he's in the lineup compared to Barnett is night and day. It's you could just see the fire, whereas Barnett, we've not really seen that since his rookie year. So yeah, you think that they signed this guy to a 2-year deal, but I'm thinking maybe the market wasn't that great for him. So Eagles bring him back and move on from there. Another guy they brought back that we're not really crazy about, and he's still, well, they didn't really bring him back, but they moved him around to keep him on the lineup, was our draft pick from a few years ago, which so far has been a bust, JJ Arcega Whiteside, or J-Jaw, as a lot of people call him. It right now, he's coming back. He's not done anything in an Eagles uniform. His days are numbered, but now he has added weight during the winter and will be moved to tight end. So definitely not starting tight end, because we know we have one of those in Dallas Goedert, but maybe he'll be a blocker. I mean, it seems like he does that fairly well as a wide receiver, because he certainly doesn't catch many. This guy had really good hands coming out of Stanford. He was known for, you know, being able to go up and get the ball. We just haven't seen it from the wide receiver position. So who knows if he gets in there and moves into the tight end and kind of rolls out as maybe a slot guy from the tight end position, maybe does little, you know, a little hook routes from that position, plus some blocking in the run game. It could work out, but I think that this signals that J-Jaw's days are numbered as an Eagle if he doesn't start producing something.
Yeah. My thing with this, what I remember from J-Jaw last year when he was in, is, you know, we had a lot of plays called back due to ineligible man, illegal blocking. A lot of them came from our wide receivers and our tight ends and whatnot. And J-Jaw was a part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in on a lot of plays that got called back. There were a lot of Eagles plays with touchdown that got called back. And So to me, I'm like, man, now we're putting in him in a position where he is a blocker, a primary blocker. Are we just going to have more penalties? Is he going to be the Derek Barnett of our offensive side? You know, where he's just making those bonehead plays. So, you know, hey, I guess this is one last shot. Maybe he's shown some promise. You know, maybe we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I'm not high or low. This is just kind of a okay, cool. It happened. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's about how I feel about the news. Is that the kind of the people that we retained? Not a lot of big, you know, waves made in that and these moves that we're doing. They're okay. I mean, I'm glad we've got Fletch coming back. But if we'd lost him, it wouldn't have been a huge loss. Barnett too. I am upset with the Nelson loss and the McLeod thing. But I mean, we just got to move forward on that. But there is a silver lining to the free agency movement. So we're going to talk about the three really significant free agent pickups that the Eagles did. There was more than that, but these were the big ones that we saw. And probably leading the way is this guy right here from Camden, New Jersey, which I believe somebody on this podcast is from Camden, New Jersey. And that would be our very own Tubby. Hassan Reddick, man, of the Carolina Panthers, is coming home to play for his hometown team in the Philadelphia Eagles, and he is pumped up. This is the kind of signing that does make a difference. That, yeah, we lose McLeod, and we lose Steven Nelson, but we didn't really have a lot in the linebacker core last year. I mean, other than Bradley, Edwards played pretty good, Singleton not so great, and yet we go out and get this guy who's a definite difference maker. I mean, you look at his stats up through now. He's been in the league since 2017. He has 323 tackles and 31 sacks, which is massive for a guy that's just been in the league for 5 years. So this is, and he's at the linebacker position. He's a difference maker, and we haven't had a difference maker at that position for a while. So it's going to be nice to see him come in and maybe make some waves. In Gannon's system, you need pressure on the quarterback because of the way he plays that zone. So if that's what we're going to run, and we know that's what it is, we need a guy like Reddick in there disrupting the quarterback flow.
I see him like a Brandon Graham type of guy. I think he's going to rush a lot. He's coming off of back-to-back double-digit sack seasons. You know, he had 10 with Arizona and 11 yet last year with the Panthers. So, you know, if you get 11 sacks, that means you've rushed a lot. So I'm liking to see how his versatility will be able to drop him back, and we'll also be able to play him forward as well, too, if need be. So this is a good pickup. And like you mentioned, in this Gannon offense, the pressure wasn't there. So maybe he brings this pressure. So I definitely like the pickup. Hey, I'm always rooting for anybody coming out of Camden. So I'm always rooting for him regardless, man. So, yeah, man. So it's a good pickup, man. I'm happy to see. I want a guy that wants to be somewhere. You know, it's always the little things. You got guys that want to be. There's another guy we signed. I'm not going to undercut it. There's another guy that's from that area that wants to be there. That's just another guy from that area. Saw the opportunity to come play for the Eagles.
Right.
And took it, man.
Yeah, and
this is the guy.
This is the guy, Kazir White from Plainfield, New Jersey, not very far away from Camden, and now he gets to. This is a tweet he put out: from Plainfield, New Jersey, to being raised in Pennsylvania, now I get to throw that Eagles jersey on for the hometown team. It's crazy how life works. Eagles versus Lion in the Blizzard was my first NFL game ever. We all remember that one. It's time to go to work. Sink or swim. Fly Eagles, fly. Philly, what's up? And this is an intriguing one because he's been in the league for 4 years. And if you look at his stats over the first 3 years, they're not significant. In 2020, he had 77 total tackles. But last year, he had 144 tackles and two interceptions from the linebacker position. That's key.
Right.
And is only his fourth year in the league. He's had four interceptions in his career and 278 tackles. So really comparable on the tackle side of the number to Hassan Reddick. So this is kind of this guy that could really come in again. If you've got Reddick and White playing there, and then you throw Bradley and Edwards in there, because I'm not even going to talk about Singleton anymore, but you throw Bradley and Edwards in there the way they played last year, this is a pretty good linebacking core that we all of a sudden, remember last year, we complained about the linebacking core being non-existent and guys like Bradley and Edwards having to step up. This is now a different ball game. So we may have lost that defensive backfield, but maybe this is where Gannon is trying to show his influence, is maybe moving these guys in to create more front seven, front eight pressure, and then they can plug in some corners and safeties, get some in the draft, and maybe perform well. So who knows? I do like the pickup of Kazir White, and I'm really happy to see him come in wearing Eagles green. Yeah, man.
Now, man, I like the pickup too. I thought it was, coming off, like I said, 144 tackles the previous year. You at least get a guy that's in there. You know, a little fun fact for you. Both his interceptions came in the same game against Lamar Jackson. One Lamar just threw straight to him. And the second one, it came right off of Bateman's hands. But two of them came right in that same game. So, you know, but this is a guy that can kind of do a little bit of everything. He can drop back in coverage, and he obviously, with 144 tackle, he's not scared to get his nose in there. So it's a good pickup by the Eagles, man. I really like it.
And so that covers pretty much the defensive side of the ball, and we've had a pretty decent pickup. It's on the line. It could be significant. We talked about this yesterday offline before, and that's Zach Pascal coming in from Indy to add to the wide receiving core. He's got a one-year contract, so it's kind of he's on a prove-it deal. And if you are a fantasy player, you kind of know this guy because he was kind of in 2020, he was kind of a waiver guy that you wanted to kind of pick, you could pick up late in the season. He's not had astronomical stats. His best year was 2020 when he was with Philip Rivers and he had 629 yards receiving and five touchdowns. Last year with Wentz, he had 384 yards and three touchdowns, which is bad. The year before that, in 2019, 607 and 5. If he comes in as a slot guy and he puts up 607 and 5 touchdowns, that's more than what we're getting in slot right now. So I would be okay with that. What's your take on Pascal joining the Eagles?
No, that's. I think I can just sum it up. That's more than what we were getting. Yeah. Like you said, he's going to get you 4 to 5 touchdowns a year. He's a veteran guy. He played for Nick Sirianni before for 2 years, so Sirianni is familiar with him. That matters, you know, as well, too. You know, Sirianni, I think he was with the I think he was still in the squad with the Chargers when they drafted Kazir White. Mm-hmm. So I think he knows both of these guys coming in. But more importantly, Pascal at least knows the system. So coming in as a slot receiver, maybe he can help Rager tell him, nah, man, you think you're supposed to do this, but you're actually supposed to do that. So, good pickup. Good pickup. I like Zach. I like Zach Pascal, man. He's a good wide receiver, man. Good pickup.
I think you make an excellent point that they do bring somebody in there to push Rager a little bit and give somebody for Smith to team up with. We just need, I think, one more piece because if we're going into the season – banking on Rager is being our second wideout, Pascal in the middle. I just don't want to put ourselves, you know, you got Ward too, but we really need somebody to take the heat off of Devontae. Zach will do that a little bit, but we really need a playmaker. And that's what brings us to, talking about needs and what we need. Now we're going to discuss it. This is what we're here for. This is why we're back here at the podcast. It is the NFL Draft 2022 from Las Vegas, Sin City. If you're there this week and you're going to have a blast, I can't think of a more fun place to have it. I mean, imagine it goes from, what was it, Cleveland last year? It goes from Cleveland. Could you imagine if last year you set, your savings up and you're going to fly to Cleveland go where the draft is because this is going to be my first draft and it's in Cleveland and the very next year it's in Vegas. You're like, damn, I missed out. I should have done Vegas. Nothing against Cleveland. Cleveland's fine, but it's definitely a far cry from being able to go to a draft in Vegas. I'm almost envious I didn't just decide to take a trip out there and do it. I've never been to a draft. Have you been to a draft?
I have never been to a draft, man. I don't even really even think about it. But now that you say it, man, I guess like a year that I would have went would have been like probably when we drafted Carson Wentz. You know, you have a top five pick.
Right.
You know, you get one of those sexy picks. Then you go to the draft. You have the 30th pick and you're probably going to get a tackle. You can probably just stay home.
That makes a lot of sense. I think maybe for the spectacle, when it was in Nashville a couple of years ago, I almost went because that was just would have been a cool place to be. But man, but it was so crowded, crazy. It gets nuts. You really just have to be like when we went to the Hall of Fame, you just got to be able to prepare for the crowds and kind of plan what you're going to do. But I think it's a great time. And I think that the Eagle fans will show up in force like they always do. And I think that they will boo when we don't get the picks that we want. And we say this is because I've had people ask me, what do I think the Eagles are going to do? And I tell them this every year. As long as Howie Roseman is the general manager, I have no effing clue. Because I don't think he even does something. I think he does. I just think Howie Roseman comes off to me as kind of the guy that likes, new age music. He's the guy that at the party when everybody's talking about pop or rock or grunge or alternative, he's talking about a band that we've never heard of that only like five people in the world are into, and he thinks they're the best thing ever. And that's where he comes off to me as like he treats the evaluation of talent like that.
Uh-huh.
Where everybody else kind of knows who they're going to pick or who the top 30 are. Howie's off in the corner listening to new age music, trying to pick some random dude from Alcorn State that nobody's heard of or what insert, Delaware, whatever.
Right.
We've seen it. We've seen this play before. And I got the slide for it that typifies it. It's got a meme that says, never ask a woman her age, a man his salary, or an Eagles fan about DK Metcalf or Justin Jefferson. That's a sensitive subject when you're talking to Eagles fans right there. Those two wide receivers, and we've lived it. If I went back in our old text messages about the DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, especially the Justin Jefferson thing.
The Justin Jefferson. I'd say that twice.
Yeah, to miss on that when everybody in the world, even people in the Philippines watching at 3 a.m, were looking at their TVs going, oh, the Eagles are taking Justin Jefferson. This is a no-brainer. And we pull out the Jalen Reagor, and it's just been probably the worst bust of any bust that the Eagles have had, especially because of the factor that we missed out on probably one of the greatest receivers of our time, of this time.
Yeah, especially recent. If you want to go recent, 100%. I still have a guy in the top of my head that's still all time, even though he still had some moments. But Mike Mamula.
Oh, but yeah. But you know what? That wasn't as bad as Edwards, the kid from Marcus Edwards from Louisville. That was a bad pickup.
You're talking about Marcus Smith.
Marcus Smith. Yes, Marcus Smith the
Marcus
second.
Smith yeah. out of yeah. Louisville. Yeah, yeah. Marcus Smith. Marcus man, Smith. That was a bad
pick. And what about the firefighter from Baylor or whatever? He was
like 28.
Yeah,
or something.
He was 28. I mean, come on, what? Guys. This is when we talk about the draft. It's never usually
those rock bands. These are those small rock bands that Howie goes to see with 10 followers. Look, Howie, just get the guy that scored 3 touchdowns in the first half of the national championship game on the biggest, brightest stage. Nah.
Yeah.
We don't go with a guy out of Texas Christian University.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's only worked one time, and that's been LaDainian Tomlinson. Other than that, Let's go on about it. Let's be smart about it.
Exactly. And what I'd say about what Howie does do, he does do pick well late in the draft. He does find those guys then, but those first 3-4 rounds is not where you need to get cute and be drafted. You need to draft top flight talent from the top 6 conferences, the big five, and then throw, you don't need to be drafted. Now, sometimes there's a small school athlete out there that could be good, but the problem is it's never really worked in the NFL in the first 3 to 4 rounds, rarely, very rarely, because they're usually undersized. They usually have not played against guys as big as that they're going to play in the NFL. So while, who was the running back from San Diego State we took one time, the 3rd round, speedster, he had the all-time leading yards. Yes, the record for yards. Can't remember his name. And there's a reason why you can't remember his name, because he couldn't make it onto the roster because he was so tiny that there was no place for him. So that's where how he, you know, fails us. And I got actually a stat that I pulled on the Justin Jefferson thing, and it shows receiving yards since the start of 2020. Justin Jefferson has had 3,016, most among all NFL players. And then every Eagles wide receiver, since the start of 2020 only has 4,000 yards, which is fewest among NFL teams. Justin Jefferson alone has almost out-caught every single wide receiver for the Eagles over the last 2 years. There's only 1,000 yards. That's ridiculous. And this shows where Howie is deficient in his decision-making. He's not the greatest judge of talent. Maybe with this coaching staff in, with Sirianni in, maybe you get some sort of influence. And some people allege that, like, Rager was what Lurie wanted. A lot of times they say that. I don't know. All I know is Howie is the one who gets the blame for these horrible decisions.
Yeah, man. You know, we know that Howie is a good deal maker. He's a good businessman, but he's not a good he doesn't recognize talent well. That's one thing. You know, he'll have some hit and misses, you know, but like you said, you know, we can argue that Mailata is one of those rock bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden you got all these guys that are playing football their whole life. We're like, let's go get a rugby player and turn him into something special. You know, we're still, but then he'll hit there.
Right.
You know, and Mailata to me is still a work in progress. And but you'll draft guys, man, just, I don't know, you'll get a Goddard. I'm not saying Goddard was low, but I didn't know who Goddard was until we picked him up.
Right.
You know, so you can catch those guys where, you know, they are good. They are good players, you know. Pick them up. You know, we got Fletcher Cox out of Mississippi State. You know, guys like that end up being really good players. I'm not saying he came out low, but just they're not from those top schools that you think about.
Right.
So sometimes he hits it right. Sometimes he gets it terribly wrong. But we do know that he does make good deals.
That's for sure. The to touch on the Mailata thing is, I don't mind it so much when he's reaching in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round. Mailata was the last pick.
That's true.
You know, and that's fine. That's when you need to reach. And you might get a gem. And I don't think anybody in the league right now wouldn't love to have Mailata on their team because of his size and his ability. And he's still got a ceiling. He's still got a way to go. And I think, like with other teams, they don't necessarily have to be at the top school, but play in one of the Power 5 conferences or one of the top 6 conferences in the league, because then you played, you know, in the first 3 or 4 rounds, because then you played against elite talent. You know, Fletcher played at Mississippi State in the SEC, so he's playing against a big offensive lineman. You get a guy, you know, we've seen it for South Dakota State. North Dakota State we get Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's okay for a couple of seasons, and now look where he's at. He's at Washington, and he's bounced around since he's left the Eagles. A lot of these guys, occasionally you get a Brett Favre out of, you know, Southern Miss that plays really well, or you get Jerry Rice coming in from Mississippi Valley State, but that's rare. So stop reaching for that, because you're not a genius because you listen to New Age music. People don't think you're really smart because you pull this out of your bag. Right. What they do is think you're really dumb when you do that. But yeah, like you said, on the deal-making side, Howie is a killer. And that brings us to the segment that I love that is back. One of my favorites is...
Hey, to the no.
So definitely Howie is the Grim Reaper when it comes to making deals with other teams, and that's their held to the gnaw this week. It is a meme that has been circulating around after the New Orleans Saints deal that they made right before the draft. A few people thought that might have been a bad deal, but if you really look at this deal, it's an amazing deal that benefits the Eagles. But if you look at what he did against the Colts and the Carson Wentz deal, it's just amazing what Howie pulled off to be able to get rid of Carson Wentz and get a number one pick out of it. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. And then the deal with the draft pick swapping with the Miami Dolphins to get their number one pick. Again, brilliant stuff. We're getting rid of a lot of our cast-offs and turning them into draft picks. And then the New Orleans pick is just outstanding. what we did there. Let's take a look at this real quick, and then we can talk about it. The trade details for this year's draft are what went down between the Eagles and the Saints. The Saints get two number ones from us, the 16th pick and the 19th pick, and then they get a six-rounder from us. What is significant is that we get a number one in return back. So they moving up in the draft, we still retained our 15 pick, but we gave them our 16 and 19. That's so New Orleans can move into that 16 spot, but we still get their 18 back. So we still have two first-rounders this year. We had three. Now we have two. But in addition to that, we get the third rounder this year. So they have two third-round picks this year in the draft. Mm-hmm. We also get the seven, so that kind of cancels out the six. But then we get the Saints' first-rounder in 2023 and their second-rounder in 2024. That is a hell of a deal. That's huge. And that could,
a hell of a deal.
That could be used any way you want. That could be used to package. And it wouldn't surprise me if we use it to package some sort of deal this year to maybe move up. I don't know. I never know what Howie's going to do. But I know he's not going to stand. I can guarantee you this, going into the draft, we're not going to stay where we're at with the picks. He's not just going to make every pick. Howie's going to do something to get more.
You think we're going to move up, or you think we're going to move further back?
I think he's going to try to get more picks. Howie's all about quantity over quality sometimes, and sometimes to his detriment. It can be infuriating because you can see top talent on the board, and Howie's like, somebody's offering him, hey, you give me that first round pick, I'll give you two second rounders, you know, and a second rounder next year.
So you thinking all of a sudden we're out of our 15th pick, and would we have two second rounders or a second and two thirds or something all of a sudden, and we're just signing the one guy?
I'm hoping we keep the 15 and maybe trade the 18 if he's going to do a move, that he trades the 18, mm-hmm. trades down to later in the first round, and then picks up another second round pick, some early second round pick, somewhere along those lines, where somebody's wanting to move into that 18th spot. I'm just saying, somebody wants to move in there.
You know, one of the problems that I was looking at when you have three first rounders, there's still three first round contracts, you know, that you have to sign. You know, you have like almost guaranteed money, you know, if you're picked between this pick and that pick, to sign three guys, all first rounders. Normally, those are obviously the higher end of your contracts versus having one first-round pick and a couple seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths. But you get three first-round guys.
Yeah,
that's three first-round money. And they are all going to come back around at the same time to get an extension. You know, typically that 3 to 4 year time. So you get a couple years out of them. You know, that's kind of, we want to go back a little bit to like what Russell Wilson and the Seattle success is, that they didn't have to pay Russell Wilson.
Right.
So you can have all that success. Soon they had to pay Russell Wilson. You see the success drop in Seattle because now everybody wants to get paid. So when you have a lot of those guys that you draft high, you got to be careful on the back end, because you're either going to have to trade one of them because all the money, you know, you can't, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You're
going to
be freeing up at the same time or getting those extensions at the same time. So I do like having two first-round picks. I think we need that much help on certain parts of the ball. So, you know, in some parts I don't mind it, because I think there is a lot of talent in this draft on the defensive side, mainly.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the offensive side. But defensively, I'm like, man, you know, some of these guys don't come around that often. You know, some of these guys, these playmakers, and I think there are a lot of them in this draft here. So, yeah, man.
I agree. I think – but for me, it's like – and it make an excellent point, because if we'd have kept all three first rounders, you're right, unless they're Jalen Reagor, where we know we're not going to pay him, we're going to have three possibly very talented individuals that are going to require a big paycheck down the road, and their rookie contract's going to be bigger than what we expected. So it is a good move. I like I said, I hope that he drafts 15 and 18. I really do. Or 15 and 18. I really do hope he does, but it's not going to surprise me if 18, somebody he wants is not there, and he drops down to say 25 or maybe at the bottom of the first round and into the second round to pick up more picks in the second and third round. Howie loves to do that stuff. That's the kind of thing that he's known for in Philadelphia. So here's a look at all of the picks that the Eagles have for this upcoming draft. Again, we mentioned the 15 and the 18 in round number one. They also have the number 51st pick overall in round number two. They have two picks in the round three, like we mentioned, with the trade with New Orleans. We get the 83rd pick, which was ours, and the 101st pick. Then we actually have the pick in the fourth round is the 124th overall. In the fifth round, we have three picks, which is great. The 154th that we got from Washington in a deal, the 162nd, and then the 166th from Arizona, and then the round seven pick that we got from New Orleans. So a massive amount of picks here for the Eagles. So that's what? 10 picks. I just don't know if he's going to make all 10 picks. We will definitely see as it goes. So this is the part that we're here for tonight, to kind of give our wish list on who we'd like to see in these picks. I don't think it's going to happen this way. I've never been a mock draft kind of guy, because to me, I'll pay attention to them a little bit, but mock, there's everybody does one, and they're usually never right. I mean, you don't know what these GMs are going to do when they start making trades, and they do end up going out of left field. It's fun from a standpoint to kind of gauge the talent, but that's about as far as it goes. You get an idea, but if you look at these mock drafts, they're so different of who they have the Eagles taking with the 15 and 18. It just, every single one of them has got a different guy for the most part. Nobody can agree. And that's up and down the board in all these mock drafts. So it not a big thing, but I think so tonight what we're going to do is just say, this is who we want at that pick. Not sure if that's who they're going to get, but that's who we want. What was your opinion on the whole mock draft process?
Nah, I'm right with you, man. But you know, it's good. It's good for football, man. You know, that hope is giving people hope. Yeah. This is the hope time. This is the only time you can be absolutely wrong. You can show up to your job and say a bunch of things that they don't even have to come true. It's almost like being a weatherman. You know, the weatherman, he never has to be right. Like, he can come up, hey, it's going to be sunny today. If it rains, it's like, blame God. Sorry, it's not my fault. I don't control the weather. You know, one of those things. But with the mock drafts, man, I like them, man. It's kind of like, you know, when you're getting ready for fantasy football and the season starts, you do a few mock drafts to kind of see where you'll land, or kind of see who's picking what around those areas. I just think it keeps the palate wet, man. You know, for football fans throughout the year, is something else to look forward to. And for people that don't follow football very closely, you can get an idea of what your team needs are. Most fans don't even know what their team even needs. They just show up, root for them on Sunday, and that's it. You know, who the guy is, he don't know the guys from Minnesota, and his dad coached him for 13. You know, we know that type of stuff. But, you know, your average football fan, they're just showing up and want to see a good game. So, I think for your diehards to just kind of see who your team may take.
Right.
I think it's enticing, man. I like it. I like to have the mock drafts. But, you don't have to be right. It's all just speculation. Yeah, at least you get to see who people think are the best 30 players almost collectively, you know, in this next draft, man. So,
right.
I don't get them too upset, you know. Yeah. I like them, but everybody has an opinion on this part, because it's like, it's whatever. You're just playing a lottery.
Exactly. If you can't get all wrapped up into it. I think over the years, it's gotten so insane with everybody doing a mock. I don't ever remember every single network, every single news publication. Right. They all have these mock drafts. Right. So you got to take it with a grain of salt and figure out, you know, just take a look at it just to see where the talent is, and kind of make up your own mind who you want. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk the first pick, 15th rounder. This is somebody I have my eyes on. I don't know what the Eagles are going to do, but my first round pick at 15 is Derek Stingley. Now, here's the thing about Stingley is there's some mocks that have him going in the top 10, so he may not fall to number 15. Some people rate him as the number one corner in the draft, and from a man standpoint and a speed standpoint, you see that he pulled a 4.37 at the combine, but he is definitely one of the best. Sauce Gardner's out there that could be out there. There's McDuffie that is a lot of people are really high on that could actually, you know, be one of those top corners going off the board. But I've seen a lot of them with Derek Stingley being the number one. Now, the big thing for me about Stingley is he's a guy that he's an amazing athlete that you want at corner. He's a shutdown man corner. And that's the kind of guy I like. The problem is that he has a weakness in the zone defense. He didn't play a lot of zone in LSU, and when he does, he tends to look a little bit lost. And that's not somebody I think Gannon's going to have his eye on. I want him. I think he would be great across from Slay. You give me Derek Stingley and Slay side by side, I'm a happy man. I think he would be great in that system. But it all depends on what Gannon really wants because of that zone. Will they take him? I really don't know. What's your take on this one?
You know, I just don't think we can go 15 here. But if we're just speaking to this pick, you know, to Stingley, I think he will go top 10. When I was doing a little research on, you know, what corner or something like that we can get, I did see that he didn't allow a pass touchdown at 287 snaps. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's a lot of time being out in the field, not giving up a touchdown. My problem with Stingley is when a guy is 5'11", which means he's probably like 5'9 or 5'10, under 200 pounds. I just think, man, when you're going up against guys like DK Metcalf, just those real powerful receivers, I think it's where these guys can kind of struggle at a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to go top 10. I really do. I think he's going to go top 10. I think he is the best corner in the draft. When you go to a school like LSU, you have so many defensive backs that come out of that school. You're always going to get the benefit of the doubt a little bit. But it is a solid player, man. I would love for the Eagles to have him for sure.
I think you're right. That's my wish list. Usually every year there's a guy that I want that we may not have. Yeah, last year it was Devontae Smith. I didn't think we'd have a chance at getting him, and it landed that way. So I don't think the Eagles would trade up to get a guy like Stingley. They may have their eyes on some other, you know, middle-of-the-road corners. We'll talk a little bit more about that position because we do have a few more on our board. But, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. So let's go to your pick for the number 15th pick. And that's, you've got Drake London, the wide receiver out of USC. Explain why you like this guy so much.
You know, this guy, man, he's just a hell of an athlete. You know, he also plays basketball. He's 6'5". Remember I said I want a tall receiver in this draft. When you have a quarterback that is gaining confidence, you know, in his play and accuracy, having a big target bails out a lot of things. They can make a lot of bad quarterbacks look good, or a lot of, you know, and good quarterbacks look even great. You know, for him to be 6'5", he high points the ball well. That's the main thing. And his yards after catch, man, he can run past you. And he plays in the slot. For a 6'5 guy, you don't see 6'5 guys playing in the slot a lot. He played in the slot a lot at USC. In 8 games. He only played 8 games last year at 1,100 yards. He was still the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year in 8 games. You know, minimum, he had an ankle injury, which hampered them for the rest of the season, which is why he didn't run the 40. So his 40 is still out there. But a 6'5 guy that can high point the ball, good yards after the catch. I see him drag a dude from the 12-yard line down to the 1. You know, this is right after the catch. We need guys that keep fighting for those yards, and I think is a good offset to a guy like Devontae Smith, who's that 6 foot real quick, man. So I'm really high on Drake London. I got guys that are interchangeable at this spot, but 15th spot, just to make a decision, I'm going Drake London, man. What you know about Drake London? You high on him?
Well, you know, what I did was I looked at him more in depth when I saw that this was your pick. And what I liked about him was his size, first and foremost. I thought that that was definitely an advantage. And I think that that's something the Eagles have lacked. I think they've really tried with Rager and Smith to go down the speed route, trying to get another Tyreek Hill. And sometimes that's not what you need. And I do think that if we're talking pure passing, pass-catching wide receivers, this guy ranks along the lines more of a DK Metcalf than a Tyreek Hill, which I'm still mad that we didn't get DK Metcalf when we had a chance, but because he's physical. DK Metcalf's not usually like super wide open all the time. He's usually got to make the plays over the corners because he's not like known as being a massive speedster. But he does have enough speed and size to get to the ball. And like you said, to high point it. So when I look at London's weaknesses, not, you know, like say not being super elusive or as speedy as other wide receivers, he makes up for that in his size. And so I would not cry at all if this was the pick for the Eagles at 15. I would think that, yeah, that shows me that they're trying to get Hurts a weapon and somebody that that he's going to be able to spot anywhere on the field. And that's the kind of thing that we don't really have in Rager. He's absent. He's not, he's supposed to be the speedy guy and he's not getting open. So, you know, I think that this would be a great pickup for the Eagles for sure. Now I have a receiver on my pick list at number the 18th pick. Now this is a pick that I think might be traded down. We'll see. And I have to say this, I'm a Michigan, University of Michigan fan. Can't stand the Ohio State Buckeyes, but I watched this guy play a lot this year. And now he is a speedster, but he's also an excellent route runner, and that's Chris Olave, the wide receiver of Ohio State. Watched a lot of Ohio State games this year, not by choice, just because they're Big Ten and you know, keep up with them. Mm-hmm. And I live in Ohio, so I'm kind of forced to. You know, they're just on. So
right.
He really is a really good route runner. And last year, Ohio State was not, they didn't have their best year. They had a pretty good year, but they didn't get to the playoff. Michigan beat them for the first time in a decade, which was huge. But Olave kept them in games where they probably shouldn't have been. And I watched him make some amazing catches because of his speed, agility, and his hands, which were outstanding. So say that London's gone. This would be, to me, a great pick at 18 if Olave's still up there. I've seen other mock drafts that have him going, again, like other good wide receivers in the top 15. So he may not be there. We'll see. What's your take on Olave? Yeah,
nah, with Olave, I mean, he's the best route runner that I've seen as far as in the draft. You know, his best route runner. And who he reminds me of is who we have, is Devontae Smith.
Right.
You know, that 6-foot. Credible route runner, discipline, can catch the ball, you know, which is what you want and what you need, man. So, you know, at our 18th pick, if we didn't get Drake London at that pick, then I wouldn't mind Olave. I got a few guys ahead of Olave because I just want a bigger target. I just feel like, you know, we have guys with his same talent. I just want to see, you know, just somebody different walk out there and like you said, give Hurts. You look at the quarterbacks around the league when they have good, you know, they're playing well. When you have Aaron Rodgers, you know, Aaron Rodgers can throw to anybody, but when he can throw to a 6'4", 6'5", Devontae Adams out of Fresno State, it makes it look just that much better. Even when you go out to San Diego, you know, Herbert has a bunch of big receivers, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. You know, he has big receivers all around him. So, you know, I just want to get that type of dynamic of having that big receiver there. Pascal is 6'2",
right,
which
right.
is good. That's mm-hmm. good.
Yep,
it's good. But if we can just have that, just want that freak, man, that freak that we can just grab that has that speed, that talent. I think there's a few guys out there that are like that, man.
Well, let's take a look at some of the other wide receivers in the class and kind of our thoughts on them. One of them is definitely Jameson Williams, another speedster out of Alabama. I mean, I think we're in agreement that definitely in this first round, even though this would be the third year in a row, the Eagles would take a wide receiver in the first round. So, and that you know, doesn't happen very often, but it's needed because we wasted one on Jalen Reagor. So Howie's got to make up for this. And I think we both in agreement that they need a wide receiver in this draft. And Jameson Williams is another guy that, I mean, the scouting report on him is he has another great hands. He's one of those guys that stretches the field vertically. He is actually a great route runner, gets off the ball really quick. The problem is that they say that his weakness is that he doesn't always use his hands to secure deep balls, so allows the ball into his pads, and we know what that's like. That we've seen J-Jaw with a bunch of these pad catches that don't end up not being catches. You know, and he doesn't have the big size to win on the outside, and the big thing is he tore his ACL, you know, in the loss to Georgia. So he's coming off a massive injury, but the talent can't be denied because people still have him projected in the first round. What's your take on Williams as an alternate wide receiver in the first round for us?
My take on Williams is I think the ACL injury is what makes me pause the brakes on him because we need a guy that can come in and play right now, you know. And I think recovering, we get a guy that's recovering from an ACL injury. It's not that he can't recover from it. That's not a question. You know, with the advanced technology and the way these guys bounce back from injuries, we know he's going to come back. But can he be of service to the Eagles this upcoming year? I'm not sure. You know, national championship game is in what, January?
Right.
So let's say it's about a 10-month to a year injury.
Yeah.
So we may get him back, if we're lucky, December.
Yeah. And how good is he going to be? I mean, it would basically we'd be using him for next year.
Exactly. So if we pick up a Jameson Williams, I think we have to have the understanding that this is a 2023 type guy.
Right.
Not a 2022 type guy. But I'm high on him. You know, he's my third wide receiver in this draft. I got Treylon Burke.
Yeah, let's take a look at Treylon Burks. That's another alternate wide receiver. Mm-hmm. We definitely, yeah, when we looked at our comparisons, we both know that wide receiver is an important position. Right. So this is another one that we would be happy with. So we could just circle wide receiver. Give us one of these guys. You know, of course, you're really sold on Drake London, and I'm right there with you. But Treylon Burks is another one you like out of Arkansas, the wide receiver. Talk a little bit about this guy.
Yeah, man, he's a Deebo Samuel type guy. Mm. You can give him the ball anywhere, and he'll make a play, man. You know, he'll get anywhere, you know, hand off the ball, runs, what have you, and he can make a play with it, no problem. So I'm really high on Treylon Burks, man. He's just a player that, like I said, we can do everything with him. I think that's something the Eagles need as well. So you can give him an end around, quick slant, or a deep ball, and he plays all those top positions, like I said, just like Drake London.
I think that that's what's needed is – the more I look at it, yeah, we've got a speedster.
Debo.
No, I was saying like, yeah, I know, I hear you. The thing, interesting you bring up Debo is there's another possibility for us. We know we need another wide receiver. Debo's already been out there. I don't know if you saw the video when he was in the club and the guy had the sign up that said, Debo, stay with the Niners, something like that. It was like he was having this party. And this guy had this big Debo stay with the 49ers sign to kind of, you know, hope that Debo will stay. And Debo looked at the sign and laughed and gave the throat cut sign to say that, yeah, that ain't going to happen. So he may end up back with the Niners, but it's not going to be on good terms. He definitely he's seeking to move elsewhere. Eagles could make a draft day trade with him. Another one that we've been hearing about, and Debo could happen. The asking price may be too big. The one that I would love to see happen, but I doubt will happen, is A.J. Brown, who we've heard has been palling around with Jalen Hurts. They're apparently friends anyway, and he's been catching balls from Jalen, you know, in the offseason. But they go way back, so that's kind of like, they've been friends for a while. Maybe that's just their normal behavior. But to me, that's another sign that if he's on the block or potentially on the block, if he's got chemistry with Jalen, maybe we do need to pull the trigger on some sort of deal and package a first rounder and maybe the first rounder for next year. I would definitely give up one of our first rounders this year and the first for next year to get A.J. Brown on the Eagles, because you're not going to get a better, more physical receiver right now that's ready to play right now in the draft. So you might as well do it. But we'll see. Yeah. It may take more than that, and I don't know if the Eagles are going to do that and then have to pay Brown's price tag, because he definitely is going to want to get that contract renegotiated. But yeah, it's definitely a must that they need a wide receiver in the draft this year. What do you think about the free agents market between those two? Who would you rather see coming to the Eagles between Debo and AJ?
Debo for sure.
Yeah.
Debo, because I think he, you know, AJ Brown, you know, he plays big, but he's still a 6-foot receiver, you know, you know, him and DK Metcalf were right across from each other at Ole Miss. I know he went before. I think he went before DK, because DK has some injuries,
right,
and some catching problems as well too. And AJ Brown was known as the great route runner, you know, and that's why they got him. And he can high point the ball well, but he's 6 foot. And I'm just so me. I'd rather take Debo, because I think that just, you know, we had the number one rushing offense in the league last year. Now I know people aren't striving for that. They rather have the better passing, but it still shows that we have the line for it to run. So you got a guy like Debo Samuels that you can just put the ball in space and he can make really big plays out of it. I think that helps us, man. I think, you know, we were kind of like the Niners last year. We didn't have a super passing quarterback, but we had good enough defense and we could, you know, figure out ways. We had a good run game. You know, the Niners, when all their backs got healthy, that's when they actually started playing well. So I would rather have Debo if I had to pick between the two.
That makes sense. I don't know if any draft day deal is going to make. I think it's got to happen usually in a lot of cases before the draft, just so they the team that they're trading with will have time to prepare to have those picks or whatever, to have the first round pick. But we'll see. The thing is they need a wide receiver, and we know that. Yeah. So now let's look at your pick for the number 18th pick in the second round. And you have got a guy by the name of Devin Lloyd. He's a linebacker from Utah. I've seen a lot of scouting reports on this guy, and he's definitely on a lot of people's mocks as very high up there. So tell me a little bit about what you think about Devin Lloyd.
Nah, man, just say I think he's the best linebacker in the draft, man. I think he has all the attributes. He's 6'3", 235. So you can already, you know, he's already has that NFL-ready body. You know, I watched him in the game, you know, because I watched a little Pac-12. You know, I root for the Ducks as well as my Cornhuskers. But, you know, he had a pick six against the Ducks, you know. You know, just took it right back to the house. You know, he only ran about, I think, a 4.6. I'm sorry. Yeah, he ran a 4.6, so he's not like a speed guy. But 6'3", 235, he had 111 tackles last year, 22 tackles for loss, 7 sacks, 4 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns. So you got a guy that's covering 111 tackles. I can still get you 4 picks and 7 sacks. I think with Devin Lloyd at 6'3", you have T.J. Edwards and also Kazir White. I think that makes for a really, really, really good linebacking core, because I think Hassan Reddick is going to play that Brandon Graham role where he's probably rushing a little bit more than he's dropping back. So we, you know, as far as addressing our drop back roles and that space in the middle of our defense that really needed to be filled, a lot of teams just kill us right across the middle. I think having that another guy, you know, 6'3", 235, can tackle, can intercept the ball. And he had a forced fumble as well, too. 6 pass breakups. These are guys that we need, you know, on our team. And I think he's a really good fit, man. I would love to see him in the Eagles uniform. I wouldn't even be mad if they picked him up 15th, because there are a few talented, you know, kind of go your route, how you went corner first. I wouldn't be mind if they picked him up at 15th spot. I think it's a really a position that we need to fill with a stud, man. I think this guy is that person.
When I look at Devin Lloyd, I see a guy that is, again, he reminds me a little bit. He's a little undersized he's tall for sure, but undersized is like compared to like Jordan Hicks, very similar though, where he can cover in space. And then he can also rush the passer, and he can also cover the run. Maybe not as strong as much in the run game as he is in coverage. My only problem here with this pick, and it's not a problem with the pick per se, is that we know how he undervalues the linebacker position. He always has. So I would be extremely surprised if this is the pick in the first round. If he's hanging around in the second, maybe, but I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, most of the mocks I've seen him go anywhere from 15 to 32 in the first round. He's definitely a first-round talent. I think that he can play every day. I just don't think how he's going to draft a linebacker. Now, if he does, I'll be more than appreciative because he just doesn't do it. We've talked about this on this podcast, how I love the linebacker position. I think we both do, and we see how key it is to being able to shut a team down. You've got to have guys in the middle that can stop the run and then cover the intermediate passing game. And if you don't have those guys, and Devin Lloyd's that kind of guy, he's going to make a difference for whatever team he's on from the coverage standpoint. And it's hard to find a linebacker that is also great in coverage. There's a few. We talk about them. The Eagles don't have one.
Yeah, man.
So with Hassan Reddick, like you said, playing more, maybe shifting down to the edge, I don't think they're going to go 3-4, I think that, but they will move him down to the line and when he's in there. Mm-hmm. And I think with Gannon, it's more about rotating too, getting a lot of guys in, so they want to have more players that they can bring in and rotate, keep the linebacker core fresh. I think we're going to maintain a lot of linebackers on the defense. So maybe if Gannon is in Howie's ear, they draft Lloyd, but we'll just have to see how it goes. So now let's look at just a couple more alternate first round picks. This is somebody that I wouldn't cry if he ended up getting picked up anywhere in the first round, is Jordan Davis, the defensive lineman out of Georgia. Now, the fact that we do have Sweat, we do have Barnett that's been re-signed. Graham's coming back. We have some beef. You know, we have Hargraves that had a great season last year. Maybe this isn't so much a need, but if this guy's available, he's a dominating talent that the Eagles might have to take a look at if he's available around 18. What do you think about Jordan Davis?
Nah, man. I mean, his size just, I mean, him and Fletcher Cox, you know, would just be, you would have to definitely take the outside edge on the rush because it would just be so much power getting pushed off that ball. And we blowing the centers and the guards up. They would have a hard time, man. They would have a hard time pulling against us. I think he's very disruptive, man. He's a guy that every time that they line up, you have to account for him. You can't just let him go through and hit your quarterback. He's a freak athlete, you know what I'm saying, at his size. And I think any team will be happy to have him. And I've seen a lot of mock drafts have him going to the Eagles at 15.
It seems to be a big buzz. It seems to be somebody that Howie's really seriously looking at. Could be Gannon's in his ear again about this one. He's a big boy, but what blew everybody away at the his combine? He blew everybody away when he ran like a 4.78 in the 40-yard dash, which is unbelievable for a defensive tackle. So you put him with Hargraves, because we know Fletcher, this may be Fletcher's last year. So you bring in Jordan Davis to be the heir apparent, you put him next to Hargreaves in that. Oh my gosh! Because he's not only he's not only a poser. He doesn't get a lot of sacks, but man, he eats up the space in that line. And so he's somebody that, again, if this was a pick at number one, I'm definitely not going to cry about seeing Jordan Davis in the green uniform. That's for sure.
You have him at 6'6", 341. this is the Chuck Becknarrick. Shout out to the Eagles, right? For the best, that's the best defensive player award. And the Outlander Award was the best interior lineman. And Jordan, don't get me wrong, you know, so we're getting guys that have accolades behind, you know, their play. Even, you know, Devin Lloyd, who I mentioned, he's the Pac-12 defensive player of the year.
Right.
You know, these guys are no scrubs. You know, these guys have been the best in their respective areas, you know, in their division. You know, so yeah, man. And I mean, who wouldn't want Jordan Davis, man?
Yeah, exactly. Jeez. Yeah, you know, we're not going to get Aiden Hutchinson. He's probably going to go first overall, maybe second. And then there's Thibodeau, who's a great defensive lineman. Karloftis is everybody's high on, but Jordan Davis is ranked on most boards as the fourth defensive lineman out there. And there's going to be a premium. They're going to go fast because everybody wants a guy like this on their roster. So there's one other alternate first rounder, and this is not really a wish for me. This is just somebody that I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles make this pick. I'm not saying I'm sold on it. I'm not saying it needs to happen, but Matt Corral, the quarterback out of Ole Miss, is one of the only quarterback that the Eagles brought in for a visit. Now, they've been looking at Kenny Pickett, and that's been rumored at B because they like his mobility. But Corral's the only one that came in for a visit. There's a lot that they're high on, just as if Jalen Hurts doesn't work out. The problem is, for me, is, yeah, they're doing their due diligence. And this is the kind of where I talk about that trading down. So say Matt Corral, a lot of people have him somewhere going near the bottom of the first round. So the Eagles get to 18. The wide receivers they're interested in are gone. Jordan Davis is gone. There's nobody there for them. They're really high on. But Matt Corral's sitting down there at the bottom. All right, we go ahead and trade down to 25, 26, get another second-round pick, and then draft somebody like Corral to come in and compete with Jalen Hurts. Now, my problem with that is, clearly, it's the Minshew factor all over again. You bring another guy in that's just, you're telling Jalen that you're not sold on him when we do have Minshew as backup. Why you bring this guy in? That's a very bad sign to do. I think that this is very unlikely to happen, but there is the possibility because we've seen it before. Just like when they drafted Jalen Hurts, we sat there. It was like, well, Jalen Hurts is still on the board. What, they drafted him? You never know with Howie Roseman. He's not there to soothe people's feelings or to make people feel good. He's going to do what he thinks is right for the organization, and that may be bringing a guy like Coral in. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think I just don't think this is the draft class for any of the quarterbacks. I'm really not high on any of those guys. You know, I couldn't tell you one accolade for Matt Coral. You know, and it's things like that. So when you go in that Super Bowl, you know, versus like that doesn't mean he can't play. But right. You go down to Ole Miss, you're in the SEC, it's definitely tough competition. So we know he's played against some of the best defenders in this draft. I think if you're going to pick up a guy like Matt Corral or Carroll and you're going to hold him, I think you need to at least trade away Gardner Minshew. Right. You know, because now you're going back to this three kind of, you know, and I thought, you know, you brought up Gardner Minshew. I thought they should have traded Gardner Minshew anyway. You know, I thought towards the end it became a distraction, particularly, you know, this is just like my mind, like as a competitor. If you go to the coach and tell the coach that you should be playing, by elimination, you're saying that I shouldn't be playing. You know what I'm saying? If you go in there and say, hey, I should be playing, you're telling the coach that I shouldn't be playing. Me, I wouldn't want my backup not even believing that I should even be on the field. I thought that was a bit underrated, mm-hmm. you know, as far as like what happened there. And when you got a guy, it's one thing that the coach suggests, you know, you got the offensive coach, you got the quarterbacks coach coming over to Nick saying, hey, man, I think you need to play Gardner over that's one thing.
Right.
You're always going to be competitive based off of your play. So let your play speak for itself. But for you to go in and try to usurp a person, he tried to usurp him. When you do that, I think that's bad for a locker room because you're basically saying that he shouldn't be playing.
Right.
So I think they should have tried to move on from Gardner and try to maybe get like a fifth or sixth rounder for him. What did we give up? About a sixth rounder?
It was basically nothing.
Or something like that. So I think if you're going to bring in a new guy, I don't think it helps for them, that person, to even be behind like Gardner Minshew. I think that's three.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can do a little bit better with a roster spot there. So either you're going to keep one or the other. You know, Matt Corral's a gamer,
yeah.
But I just don't really see any quarterbacks in this draft that I'm just high on, man. I'm really, that's the only thing I'm really that low on in this draft. Yeah. That's on the quarterbacks, top to bottom. I just don't really see it. When you got the guy Pickett out of Pittsburgh, you know, man, you know, it worries me when a guy can't play unless he puts on gloves.
Right.
That worries me. You know, yeah. It's a list of small things that worries me, man. Now he's, you know, is that kind of like linked to his brain too? Like, now what if you don't have your gloves? What if you can't put them on one game? I'm just saying.
Hey. No, it makes perfect sense.
You know, what if you can't put them on one game? Are you going to, do you not have, you know, your hands registered the smallest in the draft, you know, all right. of those things, you go, And then you have Malik Willis, who is a good player. I only know Malik Willis for one thing.
Yeah.
I put a bet on that Miami would beat Liberty. And I kept checking my bet. And I was like, how is Liberty keeping up with Miami? And I turn on, this guy is super accurate. And I just was like, damn. But I didn't know who this cat was. I watched him play one game.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, I don't know. I don't know what he's capable of. I know he can throw a deep ball, but a lot of these guys can throw a deep pass and practice in shorts. So, yeah, I'm just not high on any quarterback. I would be disappointed if the Eagles picked up any quarterback in the draft. Now, if you wanted to pick up a veteran quarterback, so be it.
Right.
But I think to reach out for a draft pick, I think that's stretching it and it's causing more confusion. I think just build around Jalen. And then just see what happens after this year. Just build around a guy that you have to pay almost little to nothing, and then see what happens.
Pick up
a guy. I just don't think the draft is where we should go.
We've got an extra first rounder next year. Now the quarterback class is going to be much better. Reputedly, the consensus this year is that this is not a great quarterback class. I mean, I like Pickett somewhat, but I only really watched him in the bowl game. I watched him do that great move where he faked the slide.
And crazy.
I mean, that's his highlight reel. But I didn't see a lot of great pass. I saw some pretty consistent passer. He's got a good intermediate game. The thing about Corral that a lot of people are high on, some people have him as the number one quarterback in the draft, some in the middle, like three. His junior year, really, the year he came out, is he completed 70% of his passes for 3,300 yards and 29 touchdowns, but 14 interceptions. So, again, do you want to waste a number one round your first round pick on this guy? I am with you. I think we've got Hurts. Let's not give him any more distractions. Let's let Minshew stay there and back up and move on and focus this draft on not trying to keep drafting quarterbacks and be a quarterback factory. And let's just focus on the needs that they have, because there are plenty. And so we get out of the first round. We're looking at the second round. I'm going to give you my pick for the Eagles' second round pick, which is the 51st overall. This is, now we're talking about heir apparents and usurping, you know, established starters, and that's why this pick is a big one. I got Kenneth Walker, the running back out of Michigan State. I watched him a lot this year, being a Big Ten fan. This guy is dominant in the run game. He is somebody that could definitely make a splash in Philadelphia, and a lot of people have him projected to go somewhere in the late first, mid second round. So if he's there at 51, it's going to be very difficult not to take this guy. And I know that we love Miles, but Miles has been a kind of good back, not a great back that we wanted. And of course he had the injury issues last year. We had to deal with that. So this guy is thick and he's elusive. He's got everything you want in a feature running back. And I think that this guy's got potential star written on him. I like him for the second round, and I know that might upset the Miles Sanders fans, but you got to move on when you got to move on. And I'm not saying that Miles deserves this kind of treatment, but he's going to leave eventually. I don't think they'll re-sign him to a big contract. Running backs just don't get the big deals, so it might be time to pull the trigger on a guy like Kenneth Walker. What do you think about Kenneth?
No, I like Kenneth Walker. I haven't watched him play all of that much, even though I should. He's in the same division as my team. But, you know, I did see him play. He's obviously a stud. I mean, 5'9", 211. So, like you said, he's thick, man. Yeah. So that's a load. So he's probably 5'8". You know, he's just a chunky dude. But I think didn't he win the Doak Walker Award? Like, wasn't he the best running back? Was it him? I don't remember.
Yeah, he was the Doak Walker Award winner last year. He had year he had 1,600 yards with 18 touchdowns, and one of those was a 94-yarder. He was the ESPN All-American, Walter Camp Player of the Year, and the Doak Walker Award winner. I mean, it's kind of hard not to take a guy like this. Yeah. When you look at the running backs in this draft, you've got, this is just a random site that I'm using, the NFL draft site. They've got Breece Hall ranked out of Iowa State, ranked number one, Isaiah Spiller ranked number two, and then Kenneth Walker at number three. So he may not make it out of the first round. It's very possible that he's not there for the 52nd. I don't like him for the Eagles in the first round, but if he's here at number 50-51, I would hope that Howie would pull the trigger on bringing Kenneth Walker in there. He's a great player. So maybe at 51. Now your pick for 51 is another good one. It definitely fills a need. It's Lewis Cine, the safety out of Georgia. Tell me a little bit about Lewis Cine and why you like him.
I mean, you know how I always talk about, you know, well, the point you made earlier about Howie and the bands and how we keep talking about Justin Jefferson, right?
Right.
How we saw Justin Jefferson on the biggest stage in the biggest moments perform, shine the brightest. We're talking about Lewis Cine, the defensive player of the national championship game against Alabama. Mm. Okay, we're not just talking about just some guy. You know, this guy was the defensive player of the game in the national championship game. He made a lot of key tackles. I think, you know, he has a lot of raw talent. And he's still bulking up, man. And he's 6'2", 200 pounds. I think that's great as a safety. He does, you know, on the down, the only knock on him is tracking the ball when it gets over your shoulder. Now, that's pretty big as a safety. You want to be able to track the ball. But he ran a 4.3, so he's not going to be outran. you may be able to trick him, but if running a 4.37 at safety, and he's a hell of a tackler. He won that defensive player award from tackling, coming down, laying the boom. I like him. That's my guy for the Eagles. I wouldn't even be mad if they picked him up in the first round. I'm not sure if he's a first round talent. He may not even make it to 51. I'd be surprised. I really like Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame, but who doesn't?
Right, right.
But so Lewis Cine is my pick, man. If he's still around the 51st pick, I think it's a good guy to pick up for the Eagles, man.
Yeah, everything I'm reading on him seems to be mid second round, so he may be there. But yeah, he had a 4.37, a 40. He's got a 36 vertical. He's definitely got skill, and he's also a hard hitter. So what he looks like to me he reminds me a little bit, when you look at the tape and you look at his stats of Brian Dawkins.
Woo!
A little bit. Just a little bit. I'm going to say just a little bit.
That's high praise, man.
He's got, and that's just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Did I say just a little bit? I don't want to say that he's exactly like him, but he's got that kind of menacing type of safety play where he can run downhill and knock your helmet off. And right. I like that in a safety, especially when we need one to replace Rodney McLeod. And right. who better than a guy that covers well and can stop the run? I mean, that I do like this guy a lot in that position if he's available. So, I think all the picks that we talked about tonight, I don't think there's any that I would be unhappy with us getting. So we just have to wait and see how it all shakes out on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and see where we come back in the following week to discuss it. Now, we've got a couple other – I got one other real quick third rounder I kind of threw up there. This is it really is – once you get into the third and beyond, you really – you just got to take best available that fits your need. If this guy's available, I liked him because looking at a guard play, he's probably one of the better guards that we're going to find in the third round. He's projected to go like mid third round, but probably in the mid teens as far as rating on a guard. But when I look at this, I look at our offensive line. And I see Lane Johnson, and I see Herbig, and I see Landon Dickerson probably moving to center to be the heir apparent for when Kelsey retires. And then we've got Seumalo at the other guard spot, which is he's okay. But this guy could fill that spot or at least give us depth. I like the play out of Memphis. He's got good upper body strength. He's very fast, so that's the kind of thing I like about him. Is that he's a good pull guard as far as in the run blocking. You know how the Eagles love that. He's a really good, agile defender. So we'll see where that goes with that as far as the Eagles goes. Dylan Parnum, guard out of Memphis, possibly a good pick at the 83rd round. After that, really, you don't know what you're going to get. I've got a few things here. No big deal. If these happen, they happen. Mm-hmm. But third through the seventh round, Arizona State's offensive lineman, another offensive lineman there. Round four, maybe a defensive lineman out of Tennessee. Matthew Butler's rated around to go around that time frame. Then at number 154, maybe the edge rusher, Isaiah Thomas from Oklahoma would be good. The South Dakota State, this again, fifth round. This is where you could take a chance on a guy that's kind of undersized. Pierre Strong is very elusive and fast, so he could fill that role as kind of like a Sproles-type player that we haven't had in a while. I think that he would be good. But, you know, Boston Scott's done really well for us. This guy could be somebody that could come in. And then at 166, San Diego State's tight end Daniel Bellinger. And then in the seventh round from Illinois, another offensive tackle. But basically, if you look at my picks from the third through the seventh round, it just filling needs. Some more line help, then maybe bringing in a tight end and running back for competitions. And then, again, like offensive and defensive line help is where I'm kind of looking at on these. But do you have like any, like once we get into the late third rounds, do you have anything that you're like, anybody that you're thinking maybe a draft steal at one of those areas that you could find?
Ooh. No, man. I think the draft steal, I think the biggest draft steal is the guy, Ojobo, who you picked up. Where right. he is going to fall will probably be the steal. The injury guys, the guys that have had injuries. You know, Drake London can slide. You know, his ankle is fine, but he could slide. You know, a lot of these guys with these ACL injuries, these guys can slide, man. These guys can slide. So I think if you can get a good guy like Michigan guy, Ojobo, with that, then, yeah, it's like first thing I can think of, like off the top of my head. Other than that, man, no. No, yeah. I think I like a lot of the ones you had there. Nobody really pops. You know, I didn't really wasn't knee deep into college like that this year. As far as like I got names, but not guys that I have conviction for that I can really back up. But I do know that Ojobo was going to go high, and then all of a sudden, boop. So they had him going late first.
Right.
They had him going about late first. Uh-huh. So now that could push you to fifth or sixth. So he'll be the biggest steal if he goes fifth, sixth. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think he still might go in the second round because of what he did at Michigan. But he could slide to the third, and then again, all bets are off. He's one of those guys, though, I wouldn't wait on. I wouldn't go, he might be available in the third because somebody's going to get him, I think in the mid to late second rounder. But we'll see. Like I said, my thing about the ones I put up there for the third through the seventh rounders are This is just when I look at mock drafts and I kind of look at who they've got predicted for us, and I kind of judge that based on what we needed coming in. Right. And usually once we get into the late third round, into the fourth round, and I'm watching the draft coverage, I'm kind of just going, all right, who's that guy? And then I'm on my phone researching him. Oh, okay, well, he fits a need. Fit a need from fourth through seventh, and we'll be fine through the fourth through the seventh round. Just fill in those gaps, bring guys in to be camp bodies and try to win a starting job, or to win at least a bench job that we can work with somebody. You know, not everybody's going to be Jordan Mailata, where we get in the seventh round and he's all of a sudden an entrenched starter. That's not what we expect. But we do want, you know, and I think Howie, that's when he does work his best, is those late rounds. So we'll see who they pick. I won't cry too much as long as it fits a need, like I said. So we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. But I do know this, that the draft starts on Thursday. It's Thursday night, right? Thursday night. And then that's just round one. So we'll be up late watching all that go on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's a work night for me. So that'll be fun. Hopefully the Eagles will pick and they'll be done picking by like 10:15 my time. We'll see. I definitely may not stay up for the whole first round. I'll watch the rest of it.
Right.
And then Friday and Saturday, or Friday is the second and third round, and then Saturday the remaining stuff. So it's definitely going to be a fun weekend. So what the NFL drafts for. And if you liked hearing the broadcast and you want to hear what we think about our picks, we're going to do a post-draft Where Eagles Dare podcast special coming up next Tuesday, same time, 8 o'clock live stream. But we also are glad to have our listeners on the podcast providers like Spotify and Audible, Podcaster Castro, and Amazon Music as well. So you can find us on all of those and hear what we think about the Eagles draft picks. And, you know, our coverage is definitely going to be the best. We're going to be the ones that are going to tell you like it is. And hopefully Howie just doesn't screw it up this year. Hopefully we don't have another Justin Jefferson. Hopefully when that 15th pick comes, it's somebody that we want, and then Howie makes the right choice. But who knows?
Right, man. That is the that's what we worry about every year. Not who is the right pick, but what is Howie going to do?
Exactly. And that's always a mystery. He is an enigma, racked up in a question mark and rolled into a mystery. We'll see how it goes.
Right.
I know that we'll be here to cover it, and hopefully we won't be whining about it. We'll be praising it. So check us out next Tuesday on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, won't you? So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the night.
Thanks for stopping by. Come to see us for this pre-draft special. And as always, I leave you with Fly, Eagles, Fly.
And go Birds. Enjoy the draft, everybody. We'll see you next Tuesday.